The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Mazel Tov to Dr. Meyerberg, Yom Holedet Sameach. Let's hope that this next year will be a better one for him, and one where he'll be able to talk about some more positive things rather than numbers. And we're looking forward to those quotes from him, which are so inspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. What's so interesting is today's World Asthma Day, and he was so excited. We're going to be interviewing him on asthma a little bit later, but so excited to be able to talk about something other than COVID.
Yeah, I can honestly associate with that. And I wanted to just start out by talking about the death of Josef Kleinman at the age of 91 yesterday. He was one of the youngest survivors to testify at the trial of Adolf Eichmann back in 1961. Then a young man who had survived Auschwitz along with his brother told some really fascinating stories that honestly gripped those people who were listening into the trial. Died yesterday at the age of 91. A few wonderful stories about Josef Kleinman. First of all, the most recent picture of him that we saw was when he was indicating to that medic in the Clalit medical center which arm he wanted to get his COVID-19 vaccination. That was back in January, so recently in January of this year. A famous picture of him showing which arm he was going to be vaccinated. It looked like it was going to be the left one, and that was a famous picture that went around. Also, famous pictures of Josef Kleinman with his striped hat that he was forced to use to wear in Auschwitz. And he used to come out every year after the siren had sounded for Holocaust Remembrance Day, wearing his stripy cap and with a picture of his family, where he would be traditional for him to come out of his Jerusalem flat. 16 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren that were recorded as of 2019 that we can recall. He would come out of his Jerusalem apartment with his flat, with his hat, with his stripy hat, and with his picture of all the members of the family, citing Am Yisrael Chai, that was a well-known and a traditional practice that he would undertake, died yesterday at the age of 91. A real story, a real tragedy, but also an amazing story of somebody who came to Israel together with his brother, how they found their way to Cyprus after the Auschwitz death camp was liberated is a story within itself. He was given a shirt by a Jewish soldier among the Americans who came to liberate Auschwitz, and also told that fantastic story of how they managed to survive in Auschwitz when Josef Mengele came along, and apparently the angel of death, as he was then described, and he would, the children who were lined up in front of Mengele understood quite quickly that a certain height would be required in order to survive that particular experience that Mengele was apparently going to take children of a certain height and they would survive this particular experience. Those who would not be able to come to be able to demonstrate that they were a certain height would apparently not survive. And so those children, he and his brother, put pebbles in their shoes in order to try to be able to get to the requisite height that ultimately saw them survive Auschwitz, saw them survive that particular experience, and of course saw him survive to 91 years old.
Absolutely incredible. Really, really unbelievable story. All right. Talking about things predictable and unfortunate. Well, here we are. The mandate, the time has passed for the Netanyahu to have formed a government. He has not. Where are we?
I suppose in Groundhog Day, maybe. We understand that President Ruvi Rivlin now will turn to Yair Lapid to allow him to potentially form a government. That apparently is the next plan. But the president has 3 days within which to decide what his next action is going to be now that Prime Minister Netanyahu has failed to form a government. And there are speculations that Yair Lapid will be the person President Ruvi Rivlin will tap on the shoulder to pass him the mandate to form a government. There's also speculation that this is not going to be quite as straightforward as we may think, because the president has the right to take 3 days now to consider what he's going to do next. The speculation is that Yair Lapid will be the person tapped to form a government rather than handing it back to the Knesset. There was some speculation that President Ruvi Rivlin will prefer to hand the mandate back to the Knesset to allow those people who think they can, any member of the Knesset who thinks they can form a government, to stand up and do so. The speculation is that the president will take the next 3 days and that he will probably hand the mandate to Yair Lapid, who seems to be the next most likely person to be able to form a government. And of course, Yair Lapid is working very closely with our friend Naftali Bennett, who seems probably, out of the whole group of people, the most likely to be able to get the prime minister's role if Yair Lapid does actually manage to form a government. And that's really quite ironic, because Naftali Bennett has been trying to convince the president to tap him on the shoulder to form a government so that he can have the opportunity to be the next prime minister. The problem, of course, is that Naftali Bennett only has 7 seats in the Knesset, and it seems highly unlikely that President Ruvi Rivlin will give him the opportunity to form the next government with only 7 seats to his credit. So it seems as if we were to speculate as things stand at the moment, that Yair Lapid will in fact be given the mandate, but that he will support Naftali Bennett becoming prime minister. That seems to be the most likely outcome of things if indeed they are able to push together that anti-Netanyahu 61-seat majority that is required in order to be able to form a government. But the problem is that even though the various parties that Yair Lapid will put together are united by one common factor, which is the desire to see Prime Minister Netanyahu deposed from the throne, deposed from Balfour Street, deposed from the Prime Minister's residence, and of course the Prime Minister's office. That is where their common thread really ends. So there is likely to be a lot of battle, a lot of fights amongst them, disagreement over what in fact this government really will look like in the event that they ultimately are able to put that common binding thread into practice and to be able to form a government, which still is very unsure at the moment. If they are indeed able to do it, that government is going to be fraught with so many disagreements, so many difficulties, so many policy issues that are already evident before even they've put the government together. So we are not really quite sure where things are going to be heading. I think that the smart money still seems to be on another election rather than a government being formed by Yair Lapid. But I think that the president is now minded at least to give Yair Lapid a chance to see if he and Naftali Bennett can get together and form this government. Of course, yesterday, the prime minister wasn't really able to spend a lot of time realistically trying to form a government because there was no realistic government for him to form. Instead, it was interesting that the Likud and he spent the day yesterday, first of all, blaming Naftali Bennett for the fact that he was unable to form a government. That was an interesting one, and I think that Naftali Bennett saw this one coming, even though it was pretty clear that even if had Naftali Bennett supported a Likud government, a Netanyahu-led government, there still would not have been 61 seats required, the required majority to form the government, even if those Yamina seats had been counted in. So I don't know why Prime Minister Netanyahu felt that Naftali Bennett was the reason why he couldn't form a government. I think it was just an easy excuse for him to, you know, be able to blame somebody else. Naftali Bennett really joining the anti-Netanyahu camp at this stage, even though that is not a very, very comfortable place for him to be amongst people who whose policies are really very, very different from his. It will be fascinating to see whether they're able to put things together. And of course, the other interesting thing that happened yesterday was that the Knesset Arrangements Committee met for the last time under control of the Likud, because with that expiring mandate, they also give up control over the Knesset Arrangements Committee in what is really a temporary situation while the government is still not formed. And they try to rush through a few elements of legislation, a few bills that will be presented to the plenum of the Knesset, a few of them, some interesting ones. One of them that didn't succeed in passing the Arrangements Committee was the one that they tried to introduce direct vote for Prime Minister in the hope that they might be able somehow to still engineer Prime Minister Netanyahu becoming the next Prime Minister in, if indeed another election is sought. That one was not pushed through the Arrangements Committee, so there will be no vote on that at the plenum of the Knesset today. But there were a few others, perhaps even some controversial ones, which were pushed through in order to somehow try to give the Likud some leverage in the Knesset today. It'll be interesting to see how successful those particular votes are. It was very much a rush job yesterday, but I'm not sure that it will really come to anything at the end of the day.
Wow, it's just unbelievable that this keeps going around and around in circles. Another thing that does is the fact that the Temple Mount has now been closed to Jewish visitors until further notice. What has caused this closure?
Well, it's all the unrest that we've been experiencing in Jerusalem over the past few weeks. Really, because Yom Yerushalayim, which will fall on Monday, also coincides during the holy month of Ramadan, which of course in general sees a lot of Muslim visitors coming to the Temple Mount, and particularly on a Friday, where the Friday prayers in general are quite busy on the Temple Mount, but particularly in the holy month of Ramadan. And with the clashes that took place at the Damascus Gate, where the police tried to make sure that those Muslim youths who had been on the Temple Mount for their prayers moved on and were not gathering in the Damascus Gate, and that resulted in a lot of unrest in Jerusalem. And of course, it is also speculated that the Gaza rockets, which we saw last week, are somehow related to the unrest in Jerusalem and linked to the fact that the Palestinian Authority has announced that their elections will be postponed, blaming the Israeli government for not allowing Jerusalem residents to be able to vote in the Palestinian Authority elections. That seems to be just an excuse to allow them to elegantly somehow not allow those elections to go ahead. But in general, it's caused some unrest in Jerusalem. And so as a result of which, the police have decided that it's not sensible for Jewish visitors to go to the Temple Mount at this stage. They have, however, said that for Yom Yerushalayim celebrations on Monday, that Jewish visitors will be allowed to go onto the Temple Mount, at least for that day. But other than that, at the moment, unfortunately, for those people who do wish to visit the Temple Mount, and by the way, it's quite a controversial thing for Jews to visit the Temple Mount. Yeah. Some people rule that we should not be going, Jewish visitors should not be going onto the Temple Mount at all for fear of perhaps treading on the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, wherever it was in the temple. And obviously the average person is not supposed to go there. That was only for the Kohen Gadol, the great priest who was allowed to go to that area. And so there is a fear that we may inadvertently traverse the area where that was, and that would be not a good thing. So there are many Jews hold the view that visits to the Temple Mount are undesirable. A lot of people won't go there. I think we know more or less enough to be able to not tread upon the Holy of Holies. We know more or less where it was, and so at least now the common view is that we can go there, but we should avoid certain areas. At the moment, however, unfortunately, Temple Mount is closed to Jewish visitors for at least the foreseeable future.
Indeed, and that's where we leave it. It is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time at 7:45.